25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bolin.
Hey, welcome into this Friday edition of Calling for Truth. This is Pastor Kevin Bolin, and Dr. Paul Dean is out of the studio. He'll be back with us on Monday, Lord willing. And on today's program, I thought we would do a couple of things. One, we typically do an open mic program on Fridays. We also will, while we're waiting, a lot of times go through the Christian news and views and talk about some of the news items that are out there. Today, I just want to make it an open mic opportunity. If you want to call in and ask any question, you're certainly welcome to do that. We're trying to get Dave Hervey on the line with us as well. And Dave is the author of When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. Let me read a couple quotes to you from a number of folks that are talking about this book. First of all, Tim Challies, who we had on the radio program recently. Tim, of course, is a site manager for Challies.com. It's one of the most well-read or most often read blogs out on the website. And Tim also has a subsequent site as well called Discerning Reader, and he does a number of book reviews out on that site. He says this. He says, "When Sinners Say I Do, it is potentially the best book on marriage that I have ever read." And, you know, I thought to myself when I heard that, that's quite an endorsement from someone who reads and reviews a large number of books. In his review, Tim went on to say this, to give a reason why. He said, "While the shelves at bookstores, both Christian and mainstream, are groaning under the weight of books dealing with marriage, few of these books offer assistance with the root of all of the problems we encounter in our relationships. Few of them get to the heart of the matter, looking deep into the human heart and prescribing the biblical cure. Into the void steps Dave Hervey with his book, When Sinners Say I Do, a book that justly garnering much positive attention." And so he talks about, so he had a quote there from Tim Challies, C.J. Mahaney quoted about the book, endorsed the book, Jerry Bridges, Randy Alcorn, Paul David Tripp, Carolyn McCulley. She's got a statement out there on Amazon.com about it. So when I saw all of these endorsements for this book, I had to get a copy myself, and I picked it up, and I wondered to myself, why all these glowing endorsements about this book? And I think it is because the book focuses on two of the most important items of consideration when discussing any and every Christian marriage relationship, and that is the two issues of sin and grace. And so with that, why don't we bring in our special guest into the program here today? Our special guest is Dave Hervey, who's the author of When Sinners Say I Do. Dave is also the senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, PA, which is part of the churches called Sovereign Grace Ministries. You're probably familiar with that. C.J. Mahaney and Josh Harris and others are associated with that same ministry. And he went to school, got his doctorate of ministry at the pastoral care, from Westminster Theological Seminary. And Dave, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here.
Dave, I wanted to just ask a few questions about your book. I just was given a quick rundown there of some of the endorsements that you've received on this book. And I guess it begs the question right at the very beginning. You know, all of us know, anybody who's been in a bookstore recently knows that there really is no shortage of marriage books available, and especially, or maybe even also, I should just say, in Christian bookstores. There are a number of books about marriage. What prompted you to write this one and to write this one at this time?
Well, I wrote it because I'm a pastor and have been a pastor in the same church, Covenant Fellowship Church, as you mentioned, in the same family of churches for a couple of decades. And in that role, I've been in touch with some remarkable stories of how God has met people, married couples, in the midst of their sin through the gospel, how the gospel is making a difference. In fact, the book is filled with stories of different people that have encountered the gospel in their marriage, and they're real people. They're real people in a real world that encountered real problems and discovered real change in the gospel. So I wanted to make that available, but also, Kevin, I'm a husband, and in fact, this month, Kim and I are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and that says far more about her than you could possibly imagine. But that means that I know the delight of how a marriage ripens with age, but it also means that I know what it represents to be locked in conflict at 1 a.m. in the morning over something stupid I said, and I don't want care to admit because of my pride, because I'm a sinner. So I think the book represented an opportunity to return people to the real source of their problems, and it ain't their spouse, and it's not the marriage itself. It's the presence of remaining sin, and we have to understand that in order to rejoice in the provision made available to us through the cross.
Dave, apparently from what you're saying there, you know, this book flowed out of your pastoral care right there in your church ministry. Do you do quite a bit of marriage counseling, and do you do premarital counseling as well?
This church does a considerable amount of marriage counseling and premarital counseling, and that's the greatest joy of pastoral ministry, and also some of the most significant challenges, because you are equipping those that are about to be married with the reality of what it means to marry a sinner. That's a shocking realization for a lot of couples. The fact that the person that they're going to marry has certain baggage that they were born with, and certain weaknesses, and that their call in that marriage is a call to ministry and to care for another sinner. And so it's wonderful to be able to provide that service to both those that are going to be married and those that are married.
Now, do you guys do you practice what probably a lot of our listening audience would be familiar with of nouthetic counseling? Is that the type of counseling you do?
Well, we endeavor to practice biblical counseling. I think it's well articulated in the ministry of the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, and many other places as well, where we're simply trying to help people get to the heart of what drives behavior so that they can move beyond simply communication skills to really where the battles lie in marriage, and that's in the heart, and oftentimes it's in an absence of awareness of how the gospel can be powerful for them.
The reason I asked that is you had made just a passing reference there to something that we talk about a lot, I think, in nouthetic counseling, is the idea of blame shifting. You know, you had just made a passing reference, and the problem is not with my spouse. You know, the problem's with me. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. We have to go to a very quick commercial break, and I want to give our folks the number and the information about who we're speaking with. And when we come back from the break, I was hoping we could delve right into your book and start talking about a couple of these issues. If you're listening today and you've got some folks that you're thinking about that maybe they could use a good book about marriage, maybe your marriage, or maybe you know a young couple that's just about to be married, a premarital counseling situation, well, we got one to recommend for you. That book is called When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. We're going to talk about that book in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Bottles of pills and no relief. Are these medicines making you well or sick? Are they just covering up your symptoms or causing new problems? Hello, I'm Carmen Hamilton. Join Dr. Izquierdo and myself on Christian Talk 660 for Live Well, your chiropractic magazine on the airwaves. Hear stories of hope from Dr. Manuel Izquierdo, how specific chiropractic care can be a new way to live well.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. their greatest desires to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
Hey, Isaac, you know what happens to me about this time every day? I get hungry.
I bet you're thinking about Frodo's, Paul.
You're exactly right. Frodo's Pizza at Cherrydale Point, they've got the all-you-can-eat buffet weekdays from 11 to 3. That's an hour longer than most buffets. Listen, one low price. You get the pizza, the salad, the dessert, and the drink. The folks out there are friendly. You walk in, they'll make you a fresh pizza. I am looking forward to getting out there as soon as I can.
Frodo's Pizza, Cherrydale Point in Greenville.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Well, C.J. Mahaney says it provides clarity in conflict, hope in despair, and points the way to a joy-filled, God-glorifying marriage. What was he talking about? He was talking about Dave Harvey's new book, When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. Let me read the back cover to you here just for a second. It says, marriage is the union of two people who arrive at the altar toting some surprisingly large luggage. Often it gets open right there on the honeymoon. Sometimes it waits a week or so afterwards. The Bible calls it sin, and understanding its influence can make all the difference for a man and a woman who are building a life together. That's what the book deals with. In fact, Carolyn McCulley, who we've had on the program before about her book, says that, you know, when she first started reading this book, she said, sin, sin, sin. Does this sound like something that would be a dreary book to read? She says, well, I've got good news for you. It's not. Dave brings a humorous and a light touch to a heavy subject, creating a winsome and appealing approach to an important topic. And so that's the start of her comments about reading this book. Listen, if you want to join the conversation, you've got questions about marriage, you've got, you could use that, you know, hypothetical person, I know this person who has this, and call in if you'd like. We can leave your name anonymous if you would like. But you're certainly welcome to call in and talk to Dave Harvey. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. The call is free. The results will pay in your marriage if you get these answers from Dave Harvey. Dave, just before the break, we started to get into your book. I think we did a pretty good synopsis of what people would find when they begin to open the cover of this book. But let me go a little bit deeper here and ask you about this. Your book talks about, or it discusses, the importance of accurate theology as a foundation of marriage. You know, obviously, I think just about any Christian would say, okay, I get it. You know, we've got to know some theology, you know, some basic theology. We do, because we're Christians, so we have some basic theology in mind. But what specifically are some of the biblical truths about marriage that even Christians tend to overlook?
Well, I think when we sit down and we read our Bible, Kevin, we become very aware that God has real clear ideas about the relationship between how we understand Him and the direction of our life. Mm. And that is particularly relevant in the context of our marriage. What we believe about God determines the quality of our marriage. That's why it's real important to spend time in God's Word understanding what marriage is all about and what our own hearts are all about, so that we can understand what we bring into the marriage. Mm. But we've got to get the first things first. One of the stories that I mention in the book is just how one morning when I got up to get dressed, I buttoned my shirt wrong, got the top button wrong, and so I got the whole shirt wrong, and I came downstairs, and my wife suggested that I look like I had been run through a washing machine. And the point of the illustration, though, is you got to get that first button right. Mm-hmm. We've got to get the God button right. We've got to get the Bible button right, the gospel button right. We've got to get those things buttoned first, and then we can begin working our way through the marriage.
Mm. Do you find that people tend to skip that step a little bit? You know, hey, she's saved, I'm saved, we both signed a decision card or something, and so this thing should just work out fine. I really don't need to know any more verses or any more doctrine than that, that, you know, we should just be good to go. Do you find that's an attitude that most Christians bring into the marriage relationship?
Yes, I do. I think we concede the existence of God. We concede the need to be saved, grateful that Jesus supplied a way for us to be saved. But when it comes down to the reality of why we need it saved, what the nature of sin really was, and what the nature of sin continues to be, then I think we're not as informed on those points, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the benefits of studying God's Word in relationship to our own hearts is that it leads us beyond the issue of sin back to the gospel, and it helps to deepen our delight in what God has provided for us in Christ. You know, there's an old Puritan that once said that until sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet.
Mm. That's an excellent, even in our preaching, you know, I guess just one of the trends in the modern day is to not talk about sin very often. In fact, I've even heard folks mention the fact that people know about sin already, you know, that it's just too negative. Let's not talk about that at all. Let's just talk about the good parts of the gospel. But you can't really understand the Savior unless you understand the sin. You can't understand the, if you don't understand something of the awful predicament that we're in, the pollution and the corruption and the guilt and the inability to do anything about it ourselves, you really can't appreciate the whole idea of grace, can you?
And the effect of that is that then marriage problems often are wrongly diagnosed, so that we remain on the level of just communication styles and things like that when, for instance, Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to address them on the most fundamental level and begin with the reality that, hey, when it comes to the problems in my marriage or the challenges that we're encountering, I'm a big issue. I'm a big problem. It reminds me of that story of G.K. Chesterton, who was once asked to contribute to a contest that a London newspaper was putting on where they were asking writers throughout the world to contribute to on the question of what's really wrong with the world. G.K. Chesterton's response was just two simple words, I am. And when I think about the challenges that I have in my marriage, I think about the main problem beginning with me. And I think that's a very healthy, but more importantly, a very biblical place to start in truly enjoying our marriage.
We like to use a couple little sayings on the radio broadcast here in different discussions that we've had, but we say very often that right thinking leads to right living. As you think about the gospel message and all of its ramifications, it will lead to, you know, living right before God. Or another way that we say it is we go from doctrine to deeds. And even yesterday on the broadcast, now in hindsight here, looking back at what we talked about yesterday with Dan Kruver from Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency, we said that as we thought about spiritual adoption, that we had been adopted into the family of God, it changed our views then about physical adoption, not meaning that everybody now is called to adopt a child, but they should be interested in orphans, they should be interested in those that are less fortunate, they should, you know, should have compassion because God has had compassion upon us. And if I hear you right, that's what you're saying, that as we understand these biblical truths about sin and about grace and what the great work that God has done for us, it'll actually have practical ramifications in our life as to how we treat others. Is that fair?
Yeah, and it's those kind of truths that inspire delight within marriage. So I think those two statements you made, right thinking leads to right to right practice and doctrine to deeds, that's great. And I would just add doctrine to deeds to delight, because I think as we begin to apply a biblical doctrine of sin, and it leads us to the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to then understand the significance of what is meant that Christ died for me on the cross, and then also bring the significance of that into my life each and every day. I love the way Jerry Bridges talks about how we need the gospel every day.
Mm-hmm.
It inspires our delight in God and the sweetness of the marriage as well.
I'm glad you brought that out, and I hope my wife wasn't listening when I left the light out. but I'm glad you brought it out, because it's not some sort of dry, bland obedience, you know, that we're talking about. We're talking about finding our highest satisfaction, like Piper articulates so well, finding our highest satisfaction in finding that in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's important. Do you find that people, you know, we're talking about sin, and from Carolyn McCulley's comments there, you know, she says sin, doesn't it sound like this would be a dreary book to read? Do you find that it's difficult to talk about sin with people, that they, you know, they do immediately feel that it has such a negative connotation that, you know, I don't want to talk about that at all? Do you get that type of resistance?
I think that's the impulse of all of us. In fact, if we go back to Genesis 3, the very nature of sin is to divert attention from it, to say that it's the woman you gave me, Lord, it's not me, it's something outside of me.
Mm.
But I think you have both the natural instinct and then the theological reality of what's at work in our hearts that would distract attention from the real problems.
Mm.
And yet I find as well, Kevin, that as people are instructed and as they're pastored through the reality of what's really taking place, that there's a liberating effect, because we're not staying on sin. We're helping people to understand the problem that we might be able to rejoice in the solution.
Mm-hmm. We talked about blame shifting. There was the ultimate blame shifting. He says, the woman that you gave to me. So ultimately, he's not blaming the woman. He's blaming God directly. And that might be more often the case than we would like to think. Dave, you know, there's so many of these other books that are out there. I've read a number of other books on marriage as well. And a lot of times they seem to stress ways to communicate. I know that that's important. You know, you've got to be able to talk with each other. Or sometimes they'll talk about, hey, you need to recognize the differences between men and women. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus or something. And so they want you to, their emphasis and their stress are on those things. And they say, here's what you need to do. You need to rekindle the romance. Well, I noticed that those types of things are missing from what you talk about so much of in this book. Why have you not chosen to address those types of issues?
Well, I address them some. For instance, the chapter on sex, the chapter on forgiveness. But I'm really trying to address them as a fruit and not a root.
Hmm.
In other words, I'm trying to help the reader understand what Scripture teaches, which is that as we align our heart with God and God's purposes, and we import the reality of the gospel into our life, then that bears a certain kind of fruit, and the overflow of that right relationship with God begins to inspire sweet fruit within the marriage.
Mm.
And so I think those categories of differences and romance and communication, those are all important,
mm-hmm.
but they're not fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at the heart of marriage.
Right.
And I try to address it that way.
Hmm. I think that's very interesting, because that's what I find in doing some premarital or marital counseling, is that, you know, these things are byproducts, really. And if the gospel is rightly understood and then rightly applied, you know, the byproduct will be the communication level will be much improved. By definition of the gospel, you know, the person will start focusing on the needs of their spouse and not so much on themselves. And when that happens, the romance does rekindle. It's natural byproducts of the gospel. Is that right, Dave?
It's interesting, Kevin, how James says, asks the very question of what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you.
Yes.
And that's a question that I think every married couple has asked themselves. I know I've asked it.
Yeah, I want to get into that. When we come back from the break, Dave, I want to go ahead and talk right about that subject, bring James into the discussion here a little bit. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
At Christian Talk 660, we know how important prayer is to you and your family. We also know that you value the opportunity to pray for others. That's why we've created our online prayer center. There, you can not only join your faith with others by lifting up their prayer requests with yours, but you can also give God thanks for answered prayer by sharing a praise report. Become a part of Christian Talk 660's growing community of committed prayer warriors. Click on Online Prayer Center at ChristianTalk660.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, Paul, David Tripp, who wrote the foreword for the book, When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage, writes this: "This book grasps at the core drama of every married couple. This drama is no respecter of race or ethnic origin, location, or period of history. It is that one thing that explains the doom and the hope of every human relationship. It is the theme that is on every page of this book in some way. What is this drama? It is the drama of sin and grace." We're speaking with Dave Harvey, the author of When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. And you're welcome to call in and join the conversation. If you've got a question about what Dave has written in this book, maybe you've read the book yourself and would like to just call in and comment on that, you're certainly welcome to do so. The number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. One program note before we get back into the conversation. Just want to let you know that next Wednesday on the broadcast, our special guest will be Sam Storms. And Sam will be speaking with us about his book, Signs of the Spirit, an interpretation of Jonathan Edwards' Religious Affections. If you've never read that, Jonathan Edwards' Religious Affections, it's an excellent book. And Sam will be with us on the broadcast to break it down a little bit. He makes some excellent applications about the affections that Edwards was talking about. And so we're looking forward to that next Wednesday right here on the Calling for Truth radio program. Let's go back to our discussion now with Dave Harvey. Dave, just before the break, we were talking about why you didn't use the typical types of topics that are talked about in marriage books, the ways to communicate, recognizing the differences and the needs between men and women, and you know, really what you guys need to do is just rekindle your romance, those types of things. And you said just before the break that really because the gospel produces these things, when the gospel is rightly understood and rightly applied to the life, these are byproducts. The communication will increase, the differences will dwindle away, and the concern for one another will improve, and that will in turn rekindle the romance. So did you want to go a little bit deeper on that subject, or did we cover it pretty much?
Well, I think what I'm attempting to do is to do what Scripture does, which is to take us beneath the surface of some of these regular experiences of communication, of romance, of the differences that we have, to the issues that lie beneath them. And one of the things that we began to talk about before the break was that passage from James, where James raises the question of what causes fights and quarrels among you, James chapter 4. It's a great question. It's a question that every married couple has asked. I know I've asked it.
That's right.
And yet this is where James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pierces beneath the surface of the quarrels and fights and goes to the heart of the matter, where he responds to his own question saying, is it not that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. And so here we discover that what lies beneath our quarrels and our fights is not just our differences, but it's passions within our heart that are in opposition to each other, that are at war just within us. Mm-hmm. That there are wants and cravings and longings that we have that we're not getting. And so often that's what creates the problems within our marriage. So the book is an attempt to go beneath the surface and straight to the heart, but not simply to bemoan the problem of sin, but to be able to exalt in the solution, which is the gospel.
Amen. James chapter 4, you're reading from there, but it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And then he goes on in the passage there, but he's pointing to, like you say, that the core issues behind that. I'm curious, Dave, that when you're in these counseling sessions then and you give this message of, hey, the problem is with you. You've got sinful attitudes, you've got sinful desires here in this problem. Do you ever get people that say, well, now wait a second, if I, the other person really is doing something wrong, it's not just me reacting to it, but they really are doing something wrong, and if I take your approach, that the problem is all with me and my sinful reaction to it, I'm just going to be a doormat, and people are just going to walk all over me. Do you get that type of response?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a common response, and I think we just have to help to transition people from that to the reality that looking first at ourselves does not spring our partner from responsibility for their sin. It simply compels us to respond biblically to the reality of what exists within our heart. For instance, Jesus is talking about helping one another in Matthew 7, and he says, listen, before you go reaching for the speck in the eye of your, well, in this situation, the eye of your spouse, before you go reaching out for their speck, remove the log from your own eye. And it's that sense where we're first looking to self before we go to care and minister to our spouse. We're still supposed to reach out for their speck and to help them see their speck and to pray with them through the identification and, if necessary, the repentance of that speck. But there's a sense where we're looking to ourselves before we're looking to another person, and even as we look at another person.
I notice in a lot of these other books, too, there seems to be a lot of the prevailing theories from these marriage experts, particularly the importance of meeting the other's emotional needs. And so you hear that a lot. That's a very popular phrase with marriage, that you're supposed to be meeting the other's emotional needs. Is it wrong for us to desire things from our mate, like affection and respect, would you think?
No, I think there's something good and right in wanting affection and respect. I mean, my own in my own marriage. I want the affection of my wife. I enjoy the respect of my wife. I love the way that Calvin said it, though, or at least to summarize Calvin, or paraphrase Calvin, I should say. He indicated that the sin is not in the desire. It's that we desire it too much.
Mm.
It's when these desires become demands, and they take on a life of their own, and then as they're not addressed and identified biblically, they become idols that we ultimately end up worshiping and that elicit an excessive amount of our attention and affection. I saw this in my own marriage, Kevin, with my own desires to have an orderly home. I'm kind of an orderly person. I like things organized. That one biblical character that I could probably identify with a lot is Martha, of Martha and Mary. And
and
some of the most challenging aspects of my marriage early on was the conflict that came when I thought Kim, my wife, brought disorder into my private world. And I could make a great case for order. We could start at Genesis and talk about the order of creation and move through the Old Testament tabernacle and temple and on through Corinthians, where everything's supposed to be done in order. And yet the reality was that when organization would unravel, there was something inside of me that would really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing wrong with order. Order's not bad. It's again, back to Calvin, the sin lies not in the desire. It's when we desire it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And God was very good and faithful to me to begin to remind me of who's really in control and to show me that I had invested a trust and a security in order, that it had become a demand, that I had erected an idol, and that each time some of the organization would break down within the home or in other places, what was happening was my idol got tampered with, and it exposed my heart. I remember a guy named John Bettler once saying that your spouse always hooks your idol. Your spouse hooks that thing that you invest security and trust in.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, Kevin, before I was married, I thought I was mature.
You learned differently, didn't you?
I certainly did.
Yeah. Let me give you a case of a young couple that I was doing some premarital counseling with, and tell me how this works out practically. You're talking there about, you know, that you love order and your wife is much more casual about things than you are. And, you know, I'd be interested in knowing how that works out practically, and let me give you this case to weave into the answer as well. The couple that I'm thinking of, the fella is very, very detailed-oriented. He wants to say all the details. Before they make a decision, he looks at all the details and all the possible ramifications of every thing that they get involved in. And when they have an argument, you know, he wants to talk about everything, all of the nuances of how the thing got going. The woman is exactly the opposite. And I told them, really, there's a little bit of role reversal here of what I normally see. But the woman is very casual, and she, if they do get in an argument, she's much more apt to say, hey, I just really don't want to discuss it right now. You know, let's just give a little bit of time, and it'll just, it's no big deal. She's not interested in any of the details. She just moves more with her gut instinct on things or an intuition type of thing. And so she doesn't need all the details. She finds them, frankly, boring maybe or redundant. You know, they're unhelpful at least. How does that work out practically then? How does he still maintain who he is and the way that he's wired, and how does she stay who she is, and yet they make this work?
Great question. I would first want to discover whether they are able to see how God has blessed their spouse in the way that he has created them and the many evidences of grace that exist within their spouse. And what that brings to the marriage, so that when they think about their spouse, they're not primarily thinking about these differences that exist or the way they're differently wired. But for the man, for instance, is able to say, you know, my wife, in the way that she's created, has brought so much life and diversity into my life, and the wife is able to rejoice and thank God for the structure that her her husband has brought into her life, and that when they think first about each other, it's not about what they're assigning as weaknesses because of these things, but actually the blessing that has flowed to them through the differences.
Mm.
I think also I would invite them to consider what happens when their desires are not satisfied. So, for instance, the man who would prefer things to be more organized. Well, great, that's a legitimate desire, but what happens inside of him when that desire is not satisfied, or in her, when hassles begin to take place because he's preferring organization? What's happening there?
Mm-hmm.
I would invite them to consider that.
Sounds an awful lot like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to me, Dave, and that sounds an awful lot like bringing the gospel to bear on our marriages, which is exactly what your book is about. When we come back, I want to ask you about the idea of fog of war, third chapter in your book. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Dr. Joe Mills from Talking Health and Wellness.
Trauma to the spine and nervous system as a child can create areas of weakness which show up in an adult with the onset of stress. According to OSHA, the average child has already had 1,500 spinal traumas from falls and accidents by the age of 10. So by the time you were 10 years old, you had 1,500 spinal traumas from falls that are small micro traumas, but 1,500, they add up.
Talking Health and Wellness. Listen Saturday mornings at 11:30 on Christian Talk 660.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Have you had the English experience? The English Country Tea Rooms and Restaurant in Taylor's has a high reputation offering an authentic English menu in a great setting. Did you know that we also cater for all kinds of special events, including many weddings, on and off site? If you're in a hurry, you can call ahead and we'll have your food ready when you arrive. We even have a souvenir store, so come to the English Country Tea Rooms and Restaurant and have your very own English experience. Check us out on the web at EnglishCountryTeaRooms.com.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome back into the last segment of our program today. If you want to join the conversation, you just have about 10 minutes to be able to do so. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I guess that promise of anonymity, if you called in, just didn't really move anybody. They're still a little concerned about. You can do a false voice if you want to call them, even though I know who that is on the other end. We're speaking with Dave Harvey, and Dave is the senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, PA, which is part of the Sovereign Grace Ministries, and he's also the author of a book called When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. I hope I've got this right, but I think it's sovereigngraceministries.org is the website that you can go to in order to get the book, and you can also go out to amazon.com in either one of those two places. You'll be able to get the book out there. As I mentioned, as we started the broadcast, there's a lot of endorsements out there for the book. I only read a few of them to you, but a number of people, Tim Challey, C.J. Mahaney, Jerry Bridges, Randy Alcorn, Paul David Tripp, Carolyn McCulley, and others saying a lot of good things about this book. So you don't want to miss out on it. A lot of them are saying it's completely different from other marriage books that you have read, and I think we're discovering why that is. It deals with the core issues, not the symptoms, not the surface issues that appear in marriage, but the core issue, sin, and it deals with the core solution to sin, and that's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're really talking about understanding the gospel and applying it to our life, especially in the context that we're talking about, applying it to our marriage. Dave, just before the break, I have mentioned that I wanted to talk to you about a chapter that caught my attention in your book right away. And that was a chapter, chapter 3, that speaks about the fog of war and the law of sin. And when I think of fog of war, I think of some of those discussions, let me call them, that we have gotten in our marriage. We've been married for 27 years this year. And in those discussions, sometimes you can't even remember how the argument got started. You know, you're a half an hour into it or whatever, or longer, and then you're thinking to yourself, now what was the original issue that we started to talk about? Is that what you mean by fog of war?
Well, somewhat. I also mean just that sense that it's hard to discern the battle and the challenges of the battle and the dangers of the battle that exist within the marriage, meaning, and more specifically within our heart. In fact, I opened the chapter talking about the Battle of Bull Run in July of 1861, which was right outside of Manassas, and it was close enough to the Washington, D.C. area that many of the politicians and the upper class grabbed their families and went out to the hillside and set up chairs and picnics.
Oh,
and
boy.
They were actually sitting off on the hill watching the battle as it unfolded. And what they didn't know, though, was that there was a counterattack by the South, and they began to overrun the North and subsequently overran the picnic area as well.
Oh, boy.
And the entertainment quickly turned into a very dangerous situation where they were not really recognizing the reality of war, the reality of a battle. And that's how Paul so often defines what's going on in the heart as a battle. The desires of the flesh, that Galatians 5 passage, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, desires of the spirit against the flesh. They're opposed to each other. And then he says to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So it's not an issue when we want to sit in front of the TV with our clicker in hand, but boy, when we move to romance our wife or our husband, or we're working through a tricky relational issue, or we take a step to confess an area of sin, boy, will we feel the law of sin at work in those moments to keep us from doing what is right.
That's an excellent point, and one that definitely needs to be noted in the marriage relationship. Dave, let's run to the phones really quick. We've got Tony on the line. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the note a little later there, but sorry. But if you'd like to comment, you're welcome to. Let's go right to the phone lines there. Hey.
Hello. Hello. How are you both doing today?
Doing great.
God bless. Yes. I have a question. I'm going through a situation right now. My wife and I, we joined a church, wonderful church. I loved it very much. My wife was not 100% about joining the church. And so, but she did it because to please me. But then as we continued, I became very heavily involved in ministry, and she became less and less involved. And because there were some problems with the church, and she wasn't happy. And then it finally came to a point where I was leading worship, and she was refusing to go to church. So I became frustrated, and I sought God about it. And basically, I made a redecision that we both wanted, you know, something that we both wanted, which was basically to move to another city, somewhere near the coast. And so I decided to do that after seeking God in prayer. Now, speaking with a counselor afterwards, you know, when I was telling him about what we decided to do, that counselor told me that basically I showed weak leadership because I didn't continue in leading worship and allowed my wife to get her way. And so it kind of hurt me, you know. And so I just took it in. But that person that counseled me really, I know they loved me and they meant their best, you know, to me. But I was wondering, how do you see that? How, if you was in my situation, what, would you have done something different? Or do you see weak leadership there? Or leadership? I realized it was my fault for joining the church without her being 100%. And I think that was one of my motivations why I re-decided. But what do you think?
Dave, you want to respond?
be glad to. Did you say his name was Tony?
Tony, yes.
Yes.
Tony, first I want to commend you for calling and laying this open and soliciting counsel on it. Thank you for doing that. You were moving out and in on the signal, so I wasn't able to hear all of it, but I think I captured the gist of what you were saying. I think that we first have to look at what exactly is going on within your spouse that she would be apprehensive and reluctant to join, and that part of your leadership, as you were describing, your desire to lead, part of your leadership means bringing biblical definition and biblical categories to her in that. And if that isn't getting you anywhere, then involving people that you trust and respect, but not necessarily moving on in your deeper involvement in leadership without her coming along, because as we understand in Scripture, leadership and leadership in the local church is directly tied to our leadership in the home, and that it's the home that qualifies us and testifies to our ability to lead in the broader context of the church. So I want to commend you for pursuing counsel on this. I also want to encourage you to make sure that you're asking questions of your wife that would help her to evaluate her heart, and that you're not moving on too quickly in front of her in the resolution of this.
So let me see if I understand you, Dave. Are you saying that he did make the right decision, or are you saying that he didn't make the right decision, that his wife should have been on board about the church that they went to? Or can you clarify that just a tad?
Yes, I believe that he should have waited and brought his wife along with him, and if she was unsatisfied for some legitimate reason, to discover that together and to evaluate that together, but not pushing forward in leadership without her. So mm-hmm. I think it would have been wiser for him to wait for her. But mm-hmm. there may have been things he shared that would help to bring focus to it, but the signal was moving out and in.
Okay. And I guess the temptation there would be to think, oh, no, that, you know, God has opened up this door for me, and we just need to go through it or whatever, and, you know, may not get this opportunity again or whatever. So all of those thoughts would come into play on what he was thinking there, probably behind the scenes. But the Lord can lead our spouses as well as us. And now that we are one, he should be working in the lives of both of us to make us on the same page on a major decision like that. Is that about what you're saying?
It is indeed.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for that call. We're under a minute, Dave. I just want to tell people again about your book. It's called When Sinners Say I Do, Discovering the Power of the Gospel for Marriage. Dave Harvey is also the pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, PA, which is part of the Sovereign Grace Ministries. We have a Sovereign Grace Church here in Greenville as well. And, Dave, we want to thank you for being with us on the radio broadcast today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Alrighty. I hope God blesses this book mightily, and a number of people buy it and apply what it says in this book to their marriage. Thanks again. Well, that was Dave Harvey with us. As I said, you can go out to Amazon.com to get a copy of his book. Let me just once again give you a quick program note about the program next week. On Wednesday, we'll have Sam Storms is going to be with us. Sam has written a book called Signs of the Spirit. It's an interpretation of Jonathan Edwards' book, A Religious Affections. And in that book, Jonathan Edwards makes the case that the gospel not only impacts our mind, but it impacts our passions and our emotions and our wills and all aspects of our body, of our soul. And so we'll be talking about that. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.